Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you could find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you find links not only this show, but some of our other shows like the Multiverse Fancast and MF Uncensored. You can also find us on our YouTube channel, Misfit Media. Make sure you guys check that out. Like, comment, subscribe while you're there. It really helps the show, and we appreciate every single one of you. Speaking of people we appreciate, I am Paul, and with me in the studio, or the Zoom studio as we like to call it, is Sean. Sean, how are you today?
I am just wonderful, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing all right. It feels like we've done a lot of these this week. It's been a busy week of podcasting.
And you know what? You stock up those episodes, and you know, this way you're not feeling pressured to get everyone together.
I'm feeling pressured all the time, but at least
that's you.
No, that is me. That is me.
I just want you to know I have no pressure on me at all. I'm perfectly
Oh, you're good. You're fine. You're totally okay.
I'm all good.
Yeah. All right. I went to the chiropractor today and she went, oh, I was like, that's not a good thing. That's all the pressure on my spine, all of it. But
I get the pressure, the acupuncture. You're all set. You're getting just worked on.
I know, my poor body. Anyway, now that we're done talking about me and my problems, we are back and we are here. We're celebrating a lot of anniversaries as of late. And we just did an anniversary episode for, I think, The Mask. We just did one on Multiverse Fancast. We talked to the South Park movie on this show. Like, comment, subscribe, make sure you check all those out. And now we're looking back at another franchise, because now this podcast has become less about seeing movies currently and more about talking about some of our favorite movies, which I think we're okay with.
Which is what it's always been, though.
Yeah, that's fair. We don't go to the movies enough anymore.
Well, for the first year, you know, we were during COVID, we really weren't going to theaters. Movies weren't coming out. So
fair. And now with the writer's strike, we got nothing coming out. And
nothing. But then just a lot of crap movies are coming out. You know, we don't feel like spending $30 to go and watch.
I wanted to go see Madam Web. You're the one that went totally like against it.
I will fall on my sword for that one. I am confident we did not miss anything important.
I really hope that one day when we watch that movie, we're going to watch it together, I think. And I really hope I hate it more than anything in the world. And you're kind of like, it wasn't too bad. I really hope, because I
know you're gonna love it. It shock me if I end up kind of liking it as a guilty pleasure, but it's just not something I want to
kind of like
track to the theater and spend $20 on, you know?
Kind of like our friendship, a guilty pleasure. God,
that's my friendship, Ronnie. That's a guilty pleasure.
That is Ronnie from the Multiverse Fancast. Make sure you guys check that out. But we have our big episodes too coming out after this. Oh God,
can't wait.
You guys are in for some treats.
Can't wait.
Oh God, the editing alone. But anyway, so we are here and we're talking about one of our, arguably one of our defining movies from what year was this movie?
99, 25th anniversary this year.
Jeez. That's wild. And it was during a time where the main actor of this movie was pretty much everywhere. Like, he was very popular at the time. We love him still. We're big fans of his work. He's done some great things. Unfortunately, he's got some other issues in Hollywood that kind of have come to light recently. And that is, we're talking about the Mummy.
He did just win the Academy Award.
He did. And we are talking about 1999's The Mummy, starring Brendan Fraser. Sean, tell me about The Mummy, starring Brendan Fraser.
Oh, geez, where do I begin? Well, I mean, for anyone who is a regular listener to our podcast, they probably know by now that I'm a big fan of old-time monster movies from the 30s and 40s. And The Mummy is obviously one of those properties. This is not your father's mummy. This was a totally new take on that whole idea. And it was an interesting take, because it could have fallen flat, because when you think The Mummy, what do you think?
Tom Cruise 2017 film.
Well, why you gotta be like that?
Because you said a mummy film that fell flat and it just kind of associated in my brain.
Now, what do you think of when you hear about The Mummy? What's the first image that comes to your head?
Obviously a guy in bandages, and yes, okay. But I know you, all right?
I know. A guy in bandages that walks around slowly and strangles people to death. Well, you do not get that in this movie.
No, he's not wearing any bandages.
No, except for the beginning of the movie when he first gets, you know, cursed and thrown into the ground. You never see him in bandages.
Mm-hmm.
So right there, you take what probably most people knew about The Mummy, you know, in the 60 years between the original and this movie, and you throw it out the window. And It turned out to be a great move. I thought it was a wonderful movie.
I agree, Sean, because this movie's just it is such a 1999 movie between the effects and the action star aspect of it. Brendan Fraser, I love Brendan Fraser. We grew up with Brendan Fraser not only in this movie but also like George of the Jungle and stuff like that. Like he was a big part of our childhood, and then it just disappeared. Brendan Fraser disappeared for a long time after the third movie, and we found out much more. Like much later on, that not only did he like mess up his back really bad doing these movies, like to the point of needing surgeries and stuff like that, he also apparently had a high-powered executive in Hollywood make an advance on him, and he was like, "Get away from me." No, and got blacklisted in Hollywood, which sucks. Like that, it sucks to hear. Like, Brendan Fraser just seems like such a nice guy, and
He
just
does.
like just a guy that, seems likable and approachable, and he turned into an awesome action star, and then he just kind of disappeared. Now he's making his resurgence. It started with Doom Patrol on HBO Max, and yeah, he just won his Academy Award for The Whale. Did you see The Whale?
Did not. No, I've not seen it yet. It's him and what's her name from Stranger Things? Sadie Sink, what's her name?
Yes, she plays his daughter, I think.
Oh.
But
All
yeah,
right.
like. We go back, let's go back to 1999. Let's go through the cast of this movie. Obviously, we've talked ad nauseum already about Brendan Fraser. Anything else we want to say about Rick O'Connell and Brendan Fraser?
Not at the moment, but we'll get more into it when we talk about the plot and the character and really what the character is kind of based off of and stuff like that. We have Rachel Weisz, who I think this is the first thing we probably ever saw her in. Obviously, she's a British actress. She had a very girl next door look. And you want to talk about the most drastic changes between a character in one and two? She is a totally different person in two.
I
In the
would
movie
argue that in the
before.
third movie, she's even more of a totally different person.
Oh wow,
You
yeah,
know,
that was.
they make that joke in that movie
Oh
where,
yeah, at the beginning.
yeah, she's reading a book. She's reading the book that she wrote because apparently they become super rich after this, which is awesome because they have all the gold at the end.
Well, that's yeah. You see that in the second one too. They have a mansion in London. They're famous. All that stuff. I mean, but in this movie, she is. She works in a library. She is the daughter of like old time scholars in Egypt. She is sort of a klutz. She has a brother who is basically an alcoholic and a pickpocket. And she's just, again, she's like that girl next door, feel to her. Rachel Weisz is fantastic in this movie. John Hannah playing her brother. And really, John Hannah, I mean, before this movie, he did Four Weddings and a Funeral. He did a lot of smaller work. This was probably his biggest role. Arnold Vosloo as Imhotep the Mummy for a role where he doesn't speak.
True. Like
He's
especially he speaks Egyptian.
speaks Egyptian, ancient Egyptian, but basically, he's pretty intimidating. He's creepy.
He hasn't done a lot since. Like he's
Well, he
he
just
was in
released the sequel.
G.I. Joe.
Was he in the second G.I. Joe? Did you ever see him? Because
He
his
was yeah, he
character.
was. He was in G.I. Joe Retaliation.
But you actually see him as the character before he. Because I know he.
He's on the cast list.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I remember him from. He was in a very famous episode of NCIS. But yeah, you're right. I have not seen really what else he has done in the near since then.
I'm trying to look. Yeah, not a whole lot of that sucks. I liked him.
G.I. Joe Retaliation is the last real
Big movie.
mainstream film he did.
Which is fine. I think also, like, he probably did. He was also an agent Cody Banks, let's not forget. All right. But he probably did. Like, The Mummy and The Mummy Returns come out within 2 years of each other. That's like a really quick turnaround. And he probably got, like, a lot of notice for it because he is
Oh, I agree.
fantastic. Again, I think he's also kind of, he reminds me kind of like of an Orlando Bloom type that works really well in period pieces. It's kind of weird seeing him in like a modern setting. Just like it's weird seeing Orlando Bloom play like a guy in like 2024. It's weird.
Yeah, Orlando Bloom. Well, Orlando Bloom has chosen to make many period pieces, but he does work well in that type of setting. But I see what you're saying with Vosloo. He does kind of have that face that he plays a bad guy in like 1800s or the 1930s, that type of thing. We also have Kevin J. O'Connor as I'm blanking on who he
As Benny.
is. Benny, he works with Stephen Sommers a lot. He was in G.I. Joe, Rise of the Cobra. He was in Van Helsing. So he's kind of been sort of one of those repertoire players in Stephen Sommers films.
Dr.
But
Mike.
he's the character you don't know whether he's good, bad. He has his moments, but he's just a swarmy little, annoying a-hole.
Oh yeah, and
That's really what he is. And he plays it well.
not gonna lie, my favorite dialogue exchange in the entire movie is after the boat catches fire, and he's like, "O'Connell, looks like we have all the horses." And O'Connell's like, "Looks to me like you're on the wrong side of the river." And he's like, "Oh, it's funny because like those are the kind of characters that you could tell they have a very long history with each other, but it's one of those very like frenemy type things where." Like, I'm sure they had some good adventures together, but for the most part, Benny's always kind of out for himself in some capacity. I also don't trust anybody that has that many different religious icons. It means that they can't
That
commit.
was great. I love
That's a
that.
great scene where he's literally going through each different religion. Like he does like a Chinese religion at one
And he
point.
even has that one moment where he goes like, no, okay, hold on.
He
Let me
goes
look
pull up the
again.
entire keychain of them. He looks like a set of janitor keys.
Yeah.
We got more
And
people.
last bit on the cast, we have Jonathan Hyde as the Egyptologist. And we know Jonathan Hyde obviously from Jumanji, playing the Van Pelt and the father of Alan Parrish. He was also in Titanic. And Richie Rich.
And Richie Rich.
Richie Rich, that's where we both probably first saw him from. He's another one that I have not seen in a long time.
He's also up there in age. Like he's definitely getting up there.
Yeah, he's definitely older, but yeah, no, really, since The Mummy, the movies I'm looking at, I've never heard of any of them.
Did you mention Odette Fehr?
Did not mention Odette Fehr.
Yeah,
He's
never
not,
seen
like,
him.
it's weird. He's not even on the cast list on Wikipedia, like the short list, but all right, yes. Odette Fehr as Ardeth Day.
Who's like so bad
And of
at?
course he returned to the sequel. He is badass. And again, he's another one where until halfway, three quarters into the movie, you really don't know where he
If he's a
stands and
good
what
guy
he's
or bad
like.
guy. Yeah.
He's basically, he is one of the security guards who's making sure Imhotep is never released.
Right.
So, and
Well, it's
we'll
funny.
find
He doesn't
out
talk.
more later on in the sequel, like backgrounds and stuff.
Yeah, he doesn't have like an actual full conversation with the main cast until after the mummy starts killing people. Like they're in the city and finally it's like revealed that, the Egyptologist has really been working with them too. Like there's this whole secret society of Magi who are protecting the tomb so that Imhotep can't be awoken. And it's an interesting take because he's a character that I think I like him more in the sequel. He's got some comedic moments and he's kind of funny. Like after the bus thing in the sequel, he's like, "That was my first bus ride." But like for this,
That was my problem with the sequel, and we will probably get into it. I just thought the sequel just relied a little too much on
on the comedy,
the comedy, the stupid jokes and stuff like that. And that's
it had a blooper reel.
it did,
I'll
but
never not laugh at when Fraser's just shooting blanks out of the back, and then he runs out. He's like, "I'm out of ammo. Like I'm done." Anyway, by the way, we did not preface this by saying that we will be just focusing on the first mummy for this episode. There will be a follow-up
first
episode
one.
where we talk about the two sequels, the cartoon show, and the spin-off movie. But we'll get to that in another episode. We wanted to spend a little bit more time just on this main episode, on this main movie, because it sets the tone for the rest of the series. And arguably, you look at like we made a joke about the 2017 mummy. Had they just done a lot more of what the original Mummy did in 1999, the movie would have been a lot better. Like it's funny because did you see the 2017 one?
I did. I saw it in theaters and it was just
I
garbage.
saw it in its entirety one time because that's all I needed. I just needed to know if it was as bad as everybody was saying. And the thing that kills that movie is that they're trying to build a bigger universe. They wanted to build their dark universe. Ironically enough, had in this movie itself, they do allude that there is this big cons like this bigger organization kind of overseeing this. They did it in this movie and they did it well. Like the Egyptologist could have easily been like, "We also have, Magi in Transylvania," like a throwaway line like that, something like, but they were so focused. And also Tom Cruise was just a terror. I like Tom Cruise as an actor and I like him as an action star, but Yeah, you need that guy. And I think
Because, and Brendan Fraser is not that typical. Like when he was cast in this movie, I was like, I mean, again, we're 12 years old when this movie came out, so like, don't, I'm not gonna make it sound like I'm a film critic and I'm like, I was really like thinking about this, but I'm just like, dude from George of the Jungle is gonna be in The Mummy? Like, he's ripped, don't get me wrong. I mean, I don't know. Again, I don't know what this movie's gonna be. I don't see that, but I remember the first trailer coming out and it just looked really cool. I mean, it was just a lot of action, and I was like, oh, this looks interesting. Let's, I was like, I went to my dad and I was like, I really want to see this. And we did. And again, it's totally different take on The Mummy. Like, besides, it's technically a remake of the 1932 movie with Boris Karloff, name Imhotep, you know, the ancient princess that he's in love with, yada yada yada. But after that, they just go and they're like, we're gonna make him a plague on the earth. We're gonna make him supernatural. We're gonna make him be able to do whatever he wants.
Oh yeah.
This is not your, this, he's not gonna be walking around in bandages
Just
killing people.
strangling people.
Yeah. And that's fine. I mean, it's a big budget action movie with really cool special effects. I totally understand why they'd want to take advantage of special effects and do all that type of stuff.
A lot of the special effects do still hold up, except for the bugs.
Yes.
The scarabs are the only thing that don't hold
Bugs,
as well.
yeah.
But it's
See,
funny because
I think the effects in this movie hold up better than the effects in the sequel.
see, I'll argue that because I like the sequel when they do the water effect versus the sand effect. I thought it was really cool. And unfortunately, and we'll talk about it in the sequel, they tried to do things they were not ready for computer animated wise.
Well, obviously, the Scorpion King at the end is
Oh,
still to watch.
it's still jarring, but again, we'll get there. Let's talk about this movie though. So the movie starts off in Thebes, Egypt in 1290 BC. We meet our boy Imhotep, you know, good looking dude, always ripped. I don't know why, waxed like a Brazilian supermodel, but you know, just walking around and he's having an affair with Anaxunamun, the mistress and future bride of the Pharaoh Seti the First. So they be fooling around and Seti walks in and her makeup's a mess. And like, hey, who's been touching you? And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And Imhotep's like, hey, pops out of the corner, it's me. I'm the guy.
And you're dead. Shh.
Anaximandre's like, well, this is gonna be awkward. And she stabs him in the back, and then he's like, hey, sword to the head. So they kill this guy. We find out later in the next movie that his daughter's across the way just going, ah, no. But anyway, I digress. Second movie. So they kill the Pharaoh, and even though he flees, Anaximandre's like, well, I'm just gonna kill myself. You gotta bring me back to life. Like that's the converse, and that's a typical conversation between, you know, two people in a weird relationship, I guess, in
Oh yeah,
12.
even today, that's consenting adults. That's how they, you know,
Like
bring you back
when
home.
I go to work, my wife's like, I'm just gonna, you know, take care of business, and then you gotta bring me back to life afterwards. And I'm like, bet, let's go. So he runs away, and as he's trying to bring her back to life, they get caught by the Magi. And he's like, well, damn it, I can't do the spell to bring back my girl. Instead, he gets the most horrific torture done to him. I didn't realize how bad it was until I watched it more as an adult. And I was like, oh, wow, they cut out his tongue while he's still alive first.
Which
Then
they've
they,
done in the original.
yeah, and then they mummify him alive. You know, obviously, they don't take out all of his vital organs and everything, but because he would have just died. But you do see all of his boys get mummified alive. They
Yeah.
get all their stuff ripped out, like everything. Which again, he tries to find the canopic jars. Like they shouldn't have taken out all of his stuff. But anyway,
I think that was the stuff for the princess, not for him.
don't remember. We're gonna have to check
I
that
believe
out.
that was her,
Oh, her stuff?
yeah, in the canopic jars.
Yeah, for those of you guys who don't know, a canopic jar is the organ jars. Basically, when you got mummified, they talk about it in these movies. Like they talk about the process where like they remove all your vital organs, put them into jars so you could take them with you to the afterlife.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he's like, man, this sucks. I'm gonna put a curse on all of you that if I ever get resurrected, I'm coming back and I'm gonna ruin everybody's day. And that's how he dies, and the movie's over. So like, done. Just kidding. We fast forward to 1926, and this is a perfect example. I'm going to say it again. Brendan Fraser would have been an awesome Indiana Jones during if they had rebooted during this time. He would have been really fun.
Well, that's because this character is basically not exactly, he's not an archaeologist, but he's got that badass, you know. going on adventures, knows how to take care of himself mentality.
Yeah. So the movie starts off with we have Rick O'Connell and his buddies. They're trying to find this city called Haminatra. It is this hidden city where Imhotep, we find out, is buried, and they get attacked by the Magi there, and he gets left for dead. So he starts wandering the desert. We find out later he gets captured and he's thrown into prison. But otherwise, other things happening. Jonathan meets his sister, who's a librarian and aspiring Egyptologist working for the museum, with an intricate box and a map that leads to Haminatra. He reveals that he stole it from the American adventurer Rick O'Connell, who discovered the city while in the French Foreign Legion 3 years earlier. They find him in a local prison and they make a deal with him to lead them to the city by bribing the prison guard. Now, fun fact, apparently, I think it was the neck drop that actually like almost killed Brendan Fraser in real life too, because
Yeah, he was actually, I believe, suffocating or, being strangled to death in that scene.
yeah. So Rick decides, he's like, all right, I'm going to take you guys, but we're going to do it my way. But first, I need a haircut and a tailor. So, and of course, like he comes up onto the scene and he's all like handsome now. And I'm like, yeah, that's George of the Jungle right there. Who'd win in a fight, George of the Jungle or Rick O'Connell with no guns?
Rick O'Connell.
You think so? I mean, George of the Jungle beat up a lion and spun
Up a
it
lion, but
on
he, well,
one hand.
the lion knew what was going on. The
No,
lion,
that was the second one with the monkey. You're confusing your lion fights again, buddy.
don't know, man.
I don't know about you.
He's friends with all the people in the jungle, Come on,
I
man.
disagree. But anyway, I think George of the Jungle might actually be the surprise victor of this one. So they decide that they're going to the city, but they also encounter a band of American treasure hunters led by Benny, Rick's friend, who sucks. Now, they were warned to not go, but of course, they still end up going. The Magi attack them on the boat, and like there's sword fighting, and one guy's on fire. Like that guy's on fire. And, a lot of people die, the boat sinks, and the two teams now, the American team led by Benny and the good guys led by Rick, because that's how it's divided, are racing to get to Haminatra, and they bet whoever gets there first, like, gets claim. And they honor that bet for some reason. Like, I guess, where is your bond there? So they get to Haminatra, at pretty much the exact same time, but I think he's the one that technically wins the bet. So they decide that they're going to set up camp there. They're going to be acquaintancy or be cordial to each other while they all investigate different spots in the city. So our heroes end up finding the tomb of Imhotep, and he's like nasty looking when he comes out. And they even pointed out, they're like, he still looks like
It's still
juicy.
juicy.
Ugh, that's such a weird term for that. Well, the other guys find the Book of the Dead and an ancient like trick box thing, like the chest. And so later that night, Evie gets a little drunk and she does the one thing you should never do after too much drinking, Sean. She reads a book. Reads a book. All right. What harm could come from reading a book? They even say that in the second movie too. So they read from the book and they accidentally wake up Imhotep. Now, Imhotep comes with the power of the 12 plagues of Egypt? 10?
I think it's
10
10.
plagues,
10
10 plagues.
plagues of Egypt.
I'm thinking 12,
12 Days of Christmas.
that was it, the Christmas stuff. Yeah. It's just 12 lords of leaving. Oh my God, watch out. That's worse than frogs falling from the sky. So they decide they're going to go back to the city with whatever they can and try and figure this out. Fast forward. After she, they get back, they get to Cairo. Imhotep gets the help of Benny to like get to the city. Now the Magi are the ones who are like, hey, we told you not to do this. We're going to have to go down there and try and kill this thing. And Rick O'Connell's like, I already shot him twice. Like, I have bullets. They were effective. And the Magi are like, dude, like no weapon forged by humans. And then Rick O'Connell should have taken out like a rocket launcher and been like, what about this? And they would have been like, oh man. So they get back and Imhotep follows them because obviously he can't die. And he wants to resurrect Anaxonomoun by sacrificing Evie. That's what she decides, because that's what he calls her. She believes that if the Book of the Dead brought Imhotep back to life, the Book of Amun-Ra can kill him again, and deduces that the book's whereabouts in Haminatra are underneath the statue of Horus. All right. So Imhotep shows up with an army of slaves, of all people, because they're all there and they're like, all right, well, we'll just have a drink. We'll go figure this out. And they start drinking blood by accident. Like, it's a mess. By the way, full spoilers for The Mummy. I know I didn't say it before, but here we are. And so they get chased out of town by Imhotep, who's like, hey, if you just let me take her, like, I'm not gonna kill you. And they're like, all right, sounds like a nice, reasonable thing. So he takes Evie and he's like, all right, we'll kill them. And they're like, whoa, guy, nobody honors their stuff no more. They manage to escape and they get help from Captain Winston, who's a friend of Rick's from the Royal Air Force. We meet earlier during the bar scene. And he offers to fly them back, which would have been a really smart move to do beforehand. Like, why did we take the boat? Could have flown. Anyway, and we get obviously the most iconic moment of the movie, the one that's like it's on all the trailer posters and all this and that is Imhotep's sandstorm. What did you think of the sandstorm effect?
Sandstorm was really cool. We had not seen anything like that before that.
I like.
And it's just, again, it's one of those really, really memorable moments because it's become sort of the image of the movie. Even at the beginning too, where his face in the sand, that's another one. I remember that in the trailer was really, really popular. So that was
Oh yeah.
really cool.
And then of course he gets distracted by Evie, who's like, I'm just gonna make out with this guy. And he's like, even he's like, whoa, whoa. But they crash the plane, unfortunately. Winston dies during it, and they manage to get there. And this is where like the last action set piece happens with Rick O'Connell fighting off an army of mummies with a golden sword, because baller, I love it. And they end up defeating. Well, I gotta point out that when he does revive a Anaxunamone and she's like in mummy mode, because he was gonna put her in Evie's body. Like, she's kind of there's it's a little scary. Like, there are scenes where she like some jump scares and she's just kind of creepy. But they managed to get control of the army with the Golden Book, which is I love when Jonathan's trying to read from it and he ends up summoning the stronger mummies by accident to kill Rick. And he's like, oh, damn it. So they
He's like,
not only
he doesn't know the symbols, so he's like shouting them out, and he's like,
I do
it's
love
a
the
bird, it's a hawk,
a stork.
it's a stork.
I do love the callback in the second movie, though. They do a lot of callbacks in the second movie that for the most part work, but
Yeah, I know that one, I know that one.
a Metaphors. But anyway, so they also use the Book of the Dead to not only they get the guards to kill Anaxunamun, but they take Imhotep's immortality away, and he gets stabbed and he falls back into like he kind of turns back into his mummy form and he's like, hey, I'll be back and it's going to be bad for you. And they're like, all
Isn't
right,
though?
we won, we did it, like let's go celebrate. And then Benny's like, he puts down a satchel on like a lever and it sets off a booby trap that gets rid of the whole place. And then Benny dies horrifically. I like how Rick does try and save him,
Does.
like he's
But
like,
he's a
and
good guy. He's a good guy, and he's just like, listen, doesn't deserve to die that way, but
then well, first he was getting crushed to death and then it was, you
he's
know.
just trapped in there, and then the scarabs show up, and you're like,
Oh.
oh, what happened?
Yeah, and then the torch is slowly going out. You're like, oh no.
And then you just hear it. You don't see it. You just hear it. And I think that's even better.
Oh yeah. Sometimes it's better left to the imagination.
Oh, I totally agree. Totally agree.
So the heroes escape and they're like, oh, we made it. And then like a hand drops on Jonathan. He's like, ah, I'm not gonna do anything because I'm Jonathan, and I'm a wimp. And it's Ardeth who survived the whole thing because he gets separated from them at one point. Because he's like, I'm gonna fight these mummies. You guys gotta go and defeat the big mummy. So, like, we thought heroic sacrifice, but if you don't see them die, or if it's not really implied like Benny's was, they're not dead. Come on.
Most likely.
And you know, like Evie and Rick are like, hey, we didn't get any treasure, but like we're in love now. Let's make out. And Jonathan's like, stupid. I wanted money. Like all the money. And so they ride off into the sunset. They got their camels. Like, they're making out on the camel as they're driving, which isn't safe. It's like texting while driving. You just don't do it. And Jonathan, like, tries to kiss a camel, and the camel's like, nah, man. And so they also don't realize that Benny had already loaded up the camels with a ton of found treasure. Like, he made like nine trips or something stupid. And that's the mummy. And I hope everybody was really entertained by my very passionate and just, you know, totally accurate explanation of the story. Thank you.
Well
Thank you,
done, sir. Well done.
for those who don't know, Sean was just clapping because if you're just listening to us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, you just hear it, but he didn't clap loud enough. So it's okay. But if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you like, comment, and subscribe, and make sure you check out the follow-up episode that we're going to do on the rest of the Mummy franchise. But
Look at
Look at
that.
that. Look at what I did. Who would have thought? Not me. Not us. But what would you give a Star City rating for The Mummy?
Well, this movie was, I was just going to say first, this movie was budgeted at $80 million and it ended up making $416 million.
Despite mixed
So it made
reviews from
five times
critics.
its budget.
Yeah, mixed review
Yeah.
credits, but that's to be expected. Action movies can be hit or miss with
And
critics.
we didn't really give Stephen Sommers a little shout out, the director. Obviously, before this movie, he had done Deep Rising, which is a really good, I guess you could say, action monster flick. And after this, he did the sequel. He did Van Helsing. He did G.I. Joe, which we like. Not many
Technically,
other people do, but we liked it.
G.I. Joe is a far, far sequel to this movie because Brendan Fraser cameos as his character's last name is O'Connell.
Oh, really? I did
And
not.
I believe. Don't hold me to that, but if it's right, then I'm a genius.
I did not know that. I thought he was playing an actual G.I. Joe character that you just didn't know about, but.
Don't remember, but I want to say his last name in that was actually O'Connell. And like, I gotta find his filmography. Where's Brendan Fraser's filmography? There we go. List of his performances. Mummy Return. What year was Joe?
Brendan Fraser. It says he plays Jeffrey
Oh.
Stone the Fourth, Sergeant Stone.
Never mind then. That's an actual character. Stupid. Anyway, that would have been really cool though. I would have really liked myself.
Would have been interesting.
Now I gotta edit that out. People are gonna think it's weird.
Not
Not me
really.
there.
But Star City rating, I give this movie a four.
I'm with you. I think a four is a solid choice.
It is extremely rewatchable. I'll watch it every now and then. It is just fun.
It's a good time.
That's a great time to watch it. The effects pretty much hold up. A few things, those scarabs is a little cheesy, but for the most part, the effects hold up in the last 25 years. And it's just a fun retelling of a good monster movie. And they add the sort of adventurer, storyline to it, and the, grave robber type storyline to it, and it makes it work. It's just a
Yeah,
fun time.
I totally agree. But we would love to hear from you guys. If you guys are listening to us on any of our platforms or you're watching on YouTube, put it in the comments below if this is your favorite Mummy movie or if you prefer one of the other ones, or if you're not really too fan. If anybody says Tom Cruise mo Mummy movie is better, we're going to have an issue. We're going to have an actual fight. And who would win in a fight? Us. But anyway, so make sure you guys check that out. No fan feedback Friday this week, unfortunately. We're recording a little early, so I didn't have a chance. It's not Friday yet for us.
It's
Anyway,
not.
it's not, this is in the past. And now you're listening in the future. Hello, future us. So make sure you guys follow us on all of our social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, whatever it is. Make sure you guys check it out. Like, comment, subscribe. It really helps out the channel. If you guys want more content, go to our YouTube channel. We have all of our shows on there, including MF Uncensored and the Multiverse Fancast. And make sure you check out our website, themisfitfaction.com, for more information about us. But I think that is going to wrap us up for today. As always, I'm Paul.
I'm Sean.
And we'll see you guys next time.